This is Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, exclusively on the Bun 2.0, KBUN FM 104.5.
Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors is sponsored by DS Beverages, the North Country's distributor of Anheuser-Busch, and by Bonded Lock and Key. Well, our guest today is Gary Barnard. He is the area fisheries manager out of the Bemidji office for a few more days. He's headed to retirement. First of all, Gary, congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Kevin.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you have planned when your last day passes on Monday. What do you got going on next?
Well, the timing of this wasn't by coincidence. It's just before trapping season. I'm going to hit the woods here and do some trapping, and then roll into some winter activities, fishing, snowshoe hare hunting with the hounds, a few things like that.
Okay. So obviously you've been in the fisheries and the outdoors business for a long time. Must have been something that you enjoyed, you know, as a kid to get you interested, I'm guessing.
Well, yeah, I grew up on a farm. I like to be outside quite a bit. Hunting and fishing was my thing, and I had to find a way to make that into a career, and I guess I did.
Where did you grow up, Gary?
In southern Minnesota, actually, a little town called Good Thunder, south of Mankato.
Okay, and decided to get into the outdoors business some way, somehow. How did you get into outdoor management?
Well, actually, after high school, I went to a Votech school in Brainerd at the time. It's now the Brainerd Community College, but at the time it was a Votech school for natural resource technology, and came out of there looking for work and landed a job as a fisheries technician down in Waterville, Minnesota.
Okay, and what does a fisheries technician do?
Well, the tech job was field work, you know. Started out in the fall right away doing walleye pond harvest. We were actually still doing rough fish removal back in those days, so the winter was under ice seining for carp and buffalo. It was pretty demanding work, but it was definitely outside.
Okay. And from there, what happened next?
Well, I worked there. There was kind of an opening there for a hatchery manager that had showed up, and I was a fisheries specialist actually at that time, and ran the hatchery. It was about 14 drainable ponds, and kind of created an intensive culture system in there for muskie and channel catfish, sturgeon, largemouth and smallmouth bass. So quite a bit of fish culture work down in Waterville.
Okay. Then you obviously made your way to Bemidji at some point. What were the stops on the way?
Well, it was a quick trip up here. It was actually 1994 when I got the position here as area fisheries supervisor, and the first stop was about halfway up for the fall supervisors conference. I hadn't even been to Bemidji yet as a supervisor, but I attended the conference, learned a few things there, and came in here and hit the ground. So it was quite a transition, you know. The job responsibilities obviously quite a bit different, and then the environment quite a bit different as well. The last thing I worked on in the Waterville area was doing a chemical reclamation on a bullhead lake that was about 9 feet deep and pea green. And the next week I found myself working on Elk Lake down in Itasca Park with mature pine trees and eagles flying around, and so quite the transition. But it was really interesting having worked in both ends of the state and seeing the differences in the resources and stuff, and that kind of helped out with some things down the road, you know, understanding some of those differences.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you could describe them, what would you say the biggest differences are from where you grew up and started your career and the Bemidji and Northwoods area?
Yeah, well, the quality of the resources were quite a bit different. You know, things still are somewhat degraded in the southern half of the state from agriculture and that kind of thing, and a lot fewer lakes, but that kind of made the lakes, the individual lakes, a lot more important, because there might be whole counties down there that only had two or three lakes, and that's where people went. So you could probably justify in investing a lot more in some of those lakes, like with winter aeration and things like that, where a similar lake of that type up here, we wouldn't give it a second glance. We just kind of go to the bigger, better lakes. So.
Gotcha. So I don't know how it works at the DNR. I'm assuming they don't just transfer you. You show an interest. You throw your hat in the ring to get a job like the area manager?
Yeah, correct. It was a competitive thing. There was sort of a test and oral interview, of course. So at the time, Bob Strand, which many people in Bemidji know, he was the regional supervisor up there, and so he's the one who actually hired me here with an interview panel with some folks from St. Paul and others. So, I was kind of looking for advancement, and this opening came up, and I knew a little bit about Bemidji because we'd worked together somewhat on a muskie culture. A lot of the muskie eggs were taken up here that we would hatch in southern Minnesota and then ship muskies back north and that kind of thing. So I'd worked with some of those folks. So I had some knowledge of the area, but a lot to learn when I got here, of course.
You know, I would think, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, if you're in southern Minnesota or maybe in another state even, and you're into fish, whether it be the Bemidji office or the Brainerd office or Grand Rapids, those areas, I mean, that's kind of paradise for guys like you.
Yeah, it is, and there was definitely a northern migration of fisheries folks for many years. The openings would occur in the south. People would work a couple years down there and then move north to probably some better areas for a little more diversity and better high-quality fisheries and stuff.
Obviously, things have changed a lot over the years, and one of them, you know, you talk about being able to go through a VOTEC or a two-year college situation. I'm hearing more and more of these guys, they're coming into these as either master's or doctorate candidates now.
Yeah, that's a fact, and, you know, I kind of worked my way up the old-fashioned way, I guess, and, you know, that opportunity probably doesn't exist anymore to start out as a technician and work up from the bottom up. But I think there were some real benefits to having had that experience and using that to get to this level.
I would think so. I mean, boots on the ground. I mean, there's a lot to be said about having a view from down there before you're sitting in the big chair.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, some of the work ethic and things like that. That's kind of one of the things I've prided myself in one, even in the supervisor position, is that I've been pretty much able to stay in the field quite a bit, get out there. And I think that really gives you a better feeling for the resource when you're out on the lakes and participating in some of the field work than just running the numbers here in the office.
So for those who aren't familiar with that, with how it all works, what does the area fisheries manager do? What is your realm?
Well, you know, we do management plans on a bunch of lakes. We actually have about 125 lakes in the Bemidji management area that have management plans. So, and that includes everything from stocking to the survey rotation to potential for special regulations and habitat improvement. All kinds of things get rolled into that management plan, but that kind of lays out the work schedule going forward, and the combination of those plans on all of those lakes and getting them scheduled for surveys and what our objectives are and stuff all plays in there. So that sets the survey schedule, of course, and then we're doing lake surveys all summer. We're doing the spring and fall is more of a production work when we're actually harvesting eggs for incubating and fry, and then the fall we're harvesting fingerlings. And so it's a pretty busy year-round schedule. The winter things slow down a bit where you're indoors more, but it's still writing up all the reports from the surveys and then revising management plans for the next round. So quite a cycle.
It is. And how many people are in the area office as far as fisheries goes?
Well, it varies. We're at about six right now. We do have some seasonal help. We have some creel surveys that are going on Upper Red Lake, and we'll be doing Cass Lake again next year. Occasionally we do a creel survey on Bemidji or Itasca or some of the more prominent lakes in the area. So creel clerks under that, and then some interns during the summer, and seasonal labor, that kind of thing. So the workforce varies. Spring and fall, of course, really the busier time periods where we really need the extra help for keeping the hatchery and the spawning platform going, and a number of spring assessments that we do. A lot of the work that we do on panfish or muskies and stuff has to occur during that same spring period, so pretty busy then.
How many lakes is the Bemidji Area Office responsible for?
Well, the 125 that we have management plans on are the primary ones, and those are lakes with public access. There's a lot of lakes in Beltrami County that don't have public access. That, you know, whether there's still some management authority there, and there's still public waters, but we don't get them into the regular survey rotation.
More of The Great Outdoors with Kev Jackson next on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors is sponsored by DS Beverages and Bonded Lock and Key. Check us out on the web, kbunsportsradio.com. Click on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. You can also listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. And you can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Today we're saying goodbye to a longtime friend of the show. Gary Barnard, the Area Fisheries Manager out of the Bemidji Area Office, is retiring as of Monday. What are some of the biggest changes you've seen over the years, particularly the years up here in Bemidji from 94 to now?
Well, let's see. Some of the bigger changes would be some of the projects we've worked on, like Upper Red Lake and Northern Pike regulation changes, some shifts in muskie. Probably, you know, going back to 94 when I got here, the whole muskie controversy was kind of swirling in the Bemidji area like it is in other places in the state right now. And we'd started some new muskie lakes back in the 80s, and those populations were maturing, and there was concern about, you know, muskies eating all the walleyes or all the panfish, just like you hear other places. And so that was kind of going on at it. That was kind of peaking about that time. We dealt with that a lot there in the 90s. And that's pretty much dissipated now. You hardly hear anything about that anymore in this area.
Right.
People have, you know, realize that the muskie and the walleye coexist pretty well. These walleye fisheries are as good as ever, and maybe better than they were after muskies got in there. So that's gone away here, and it's kind of refreshing, and it's also troubling to hear what's going on in the other parts of the state, knowing that they're going through that same turmoil, and it's probably for naught. But they have to deal with that and deal with the public pressures of that. So, you know, we got through that. That's a big change here. And you know, the public interest and stuff is still strong for fishing in this area. And but one thing we don't see as much of anymore, I guess, is you know, the public input meetings and stuff used to be pretty lively events, and that's kind of changed over the years, and I don't know if that's how people get their information different now. They just don't attend public meetings, so that's one thing that's changed. We'll hold a meeting now for a special regulation, maybe get two or three people showing up where they used to pack the place, so that's one of the differences.
Well, one of the things I've noticed, and, you know, I've been doing this show for a long time, too, is just a change in the behavior of anglers. I mean, catch and release is pretty much across the board standard now, and it didn't used to be that way.
Yeah, that's true. That is a change. That was a kind of a gradual thing, and people have caught on to that. And you know, muskie anglers, of course, are the leaders in that, and we've seen what that can do for muskie fisheries and the improvement in some of those. And yeah, and you see it with the walleye and panfish as well. You know, it's not as much of the pack the freezer as it used to be. But there is still a harvest mentality out there, which is good, and it is a renewable resource. So a nice balance of that is pretty good. And I think, you know, that's one of the things that we've really kind of realized over the years in trying to provide better quality fisheries. And there's been times that we've gotten a little overprotective with some of our regulations and got some pushback. And there is a balance there somewhere. And I think when we went through this Northern Pike regulation process here recently, we were able to finally strike that balance where we put a reg out there that is going to improve quality, but also provide harvest opportunity. And that's the hard thing to do. You know, you're not just managing fish populations, you're managing the fishery, and that includes the people that like to harvest fish or like to catch big fish. So.
Right. When there are people involved, there's a lot of different viewpoints, and that can be some tough water to get through.
Yeah, and you know the pendulum can kind of swing, and you'll get some pushback, and I think understanding that and understanding people's attitudes towards fishing and their preferences is a good thing, and it's still a good harvest fishery is still a pretty popular thing, and we've been able to see that in Red Lake where, when people come there to catch a lot of fish, a lot of walleyes, but if your bag limit is so restrictive that they can only harvest one or two fish, they're just not coming. And
right.
So if you can strike a balance where there's an opportunity to catch and harvest a reasonable amount of fish and still be able to have high catch rates and good quality, I think that's what makes a fisherman happy. And being one myself, I understand that as well.
Yeah, I've been in my job and my business for a long time, so I look around and I see a highlight or two that I think I'm particularly proud of. Do you have any of those?
Well, yeah, of course, the Red Lake recovery was that was the kind of the highlight of this part of my career. Anyway, I was pleased the way that turned out. I don't think anybody expected it to go as quickly as it did and as well as it did. And the fact that we've been able to keep that going, and that's one of the highlights. I think getting the new set of pike rigs in place was a highlight. And then digging back a little bit, going back into the early days of the muskie program and the success we've had with that. And, the culture end of it was, a lot of that was down in southern Minnesota where that was going on. And the research end was up here with Bob Stran and the things he was working on and developing the brood lakes and that kind of thing. So that was an effort that included a lot of people across the state. So that was one I was really proud to be part of at the time. And I still watch it and see what they're doing with dry diets down in the hatcheries and things like that, and continuing to make improvements in that. So, good stuff. It's a lot of fun.
As you look forward, as one who's who knows the terrain, so to speak, but is stepping out of the way, what are some of the things that concern you going forward as far as fishing goes and fisheries?
Well, things that would concern me, I guess, some of the trends that we're seeing in participation. Fishing is still pretty good and still getting the participation rates. Our license sales haven't fallen off quite like they have in wildlife with small game licenses and things like that. And I hope we can maintain that. I mean, as long as fishing's pretty good, I think we're going to continue to recruit new anglers. But there's differing interests out there now, and more urbanization and people that don't get exposed to it early on. Of course, in Bemidji, take a kid fishing events, and a lot of attention paid to fishing up here. So I think things are going to hang on pretty well up here, but just on a statewide trend basis, I'd hate to see a shift away from that.
Okay. What about the big thing we've been talking about the last few years, AIS? How do you feel about that right now?
Well, yeah, it's a challenge, and it's going to be a challenge going forward for folks. I don't take as negative approach to that as others, maybe because I've seen a lot of things over the years. I mean, the German carp was, we've been battling that for 100 years. And like I say, I started out my career doing some rough fish removal in southern Minnesota, and we were, that's an invasive species we were trying to rid. And we weren't successful getting rid of them. At fisheries have held up. You manage things differently, and I think things will continue. We still need to try to limit the spread of that stuff as best we can, but I think when it occurs, we just need to use the best science to continue to manage those fisheries as best we can. Things will change, that's for sure. They always do, but it's not always doom and gloom. We're seeing some interesting things with Cass Lake and what's occurred with the zebra mussels out there and clearing water, but still getting good walleye recruitment. We're seeing some shifts in growth patterns, and some species are going to benefit and some are going to suffer, and you're going to see those shifts, but I think there's still hope for these fisheries even after zebes or milfoil or whatever gets in there.
Okay. If he or she were to ask, what would be your advice to the next person in your chair?
Well, I guess, you can't do everything. Just do what you can and do your best. There's a lot of good people around working for DNR. So, whoever's doing this job's got a lot of folks to work with that are going to help them, and the same folks that were helping me all along, and it's a team effort. So I think I enjoy the challenge. I mean, there's just a whole lot of real interesting things to learn yet about these fish populations, and I don't think that ever ends. If you think you got it all figured out, it may be time to quit.
Yeah. Hey, what are you going to miss the most?
Oh, I'm going to miss the people for sure that I've worked with over the years, and that continues to turn over too. I look at the group that I kind of grew up with in this job and stuff, and a lot of them are retiring now, so we're turning over to another group of people, but there's always good people, and they're all interested in the same things that you're interested in, so that makes for a good work environment, and that's good. And the science, I miss that part, and I hope there's other things that can challenge me along those lines, and but it's always been a very interesting job. It's never been one that I dreaded to come to work in the morning. So it's going to be a big transition here, that's for sure.
Yeah. What will you miss the least?
There's bad parts to every job.
I
on those. But
I can attest
to that. Administrative stuff that's kind of probably overwhelms everybody's jobs these days. Sometimes you wonder, what the priorities are, and that's always kind of hard, is keeping your head above water on that stuff, because that stuff can drag you down a little bit.
Boy, it sounds like we have the same job.
Yeah, probably most anybody. All these occupations are going a little bit that way. So.
Okay. Now that you're free, will there be some southern trips in the middle of the winter?
Oh, yeah, we'll take some short trips. I don't plan to buy a condo down in the southern hemisphere anywhere, but no, we'll take some trips. We've got grandkids around and stuff that we'll be visiting and relatives in other parts of the country here, so we'll be doing some of that, and I'm just looking forward to relaxing a little bit and taking it easy for a while. We'll see what happens.
Right. Gary Barnard is the area fisheries manager out of the Bemidji office through Monday and then retires. He's been in the job since 1994. I have interviewed you many times, Gary. I've really enjoyed it. You're a great guy. I'm going to miss you and wish you the best of luck.
Well, thanks a lot, Kevin. I've enjoyed working with you over the years. We have done quite a few of those Lake of the Weeks, haven't we?
We certainly have. I'm going to have to train a whole new person in now.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
This has been Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. Hear it exclusively on KBUN-FM 104.5, Thursdays at 1240 and Saturday mornings at 8.